Yeah, I think there should be more professional type, maybe high-tech jobs in Union County. I wouldn't want to see Microsoft come in and hire, say, 1,000 people or 10,000 people. But we raised three sons. Two of them went into the computer field, and they both would love to live in Union County. And where they live? They live in Salem, because that's where the computer jobs are. They could not find employment. And how many out of my high school class of 150 of 1942, how many people stayed in LeGrand? Maybe 20 was all. So we educate them here, and then we ship them off somewhere else.
How do you feel about attracting more tourists?
That's a sore point with me. People come to town, or they have family come to town, who relatives that want to do some hiking. They call me up, George, where can they do a little day hike out of LeGrand? We don't have any marked trails or hikes in LeGrand. I worked with the Chamber of Commerce 3 or 4 years ago, and we developed a little pamphlet that lists a few places. Like walk around Morgan Lake, or there's an old Indian trail going up Mount Emily. No one knows it's there. It'd be a beautiful hike. And particularly when we were in Switzerland and the small towns, there on the desk of the hotel would be a list of places and maps of where you go for day hikes. They don't have them here. They don't have that many. But we're not a destination. I think tourism is a great industry and good for a community. It brings in lots of bucks. We're not a destination place. No one said, oh, let's go to LeGrand and spend a week. What would you do in a week in LeGrand? I saw that coming back from Lisbon. You could see about three places in LeGrand, and you've seen it all. We have no recreational, well, Wild Lake has the lake and the fishing and the hiking out of there. We're a stopover of people going somewhere else. I think Baker County has outshone us immensely. Why didn't we get a big interpretive center? LeGrand was as important to the Oregon Trail as Baker was. But there's no commemorative or anything that even, there's a sign that on B Street that says Oregon Trail. Ezra Meeker put it up there about 1910 or something other. And Gerda Brown, every first Saturday in June, which is National Hiking Day, leads a trip over the Oregon Trail from LeGrand to Hilgard. I've been on it many times with her. She's a walking encyclopedia. On that section of it, points out the graves, and this is where they camped, and here's where General Bonneville set up his camp, and it took them a whole day to get from B Street just up behind Table Mountain.
Does part of that hike go over private land?
That's the trouble, though. In Switzerland, if you have a farm, trail goes through there, you cannot keep people going through. They have markers on it. It's public domain where these hikes are. Gerda gets permission from the two or three landowners. We sign a waiver when we go on the hike. And one part of it, we actually go up to Morgan Lake and start from there. Because just as you leave LeGrand, the people that own that land will let you go through it. So you can't walk the whole thing. But I think it should be well marked, and it's a 9-mile hike, and it's a beautiful thing.
What's the potential for restoration of historic buildings?
Another sore point. Torn down the Secretary Hotel, the courthouse, the high school. I'm all for it. I know it's expensive, but we've got to keep a little of our heritage.
Of what exists still, what would be the most likely candidates?
Do you have any idea?
Candidates.
For restoration. For placement on the historic register. Or both.
The depot is all.
The depot, that's one thing that's iffy. Oh, and the library, number one, library. We don't want to see that Carnegie Library torn down, no way. I'd lay down in front of the bulldozers. Because that's about all that's left from my childhood.
There's a Bonin Camp Castle.
Yeah, there's a Bonin Camp Castle on Second Street. That's a heritage.
The rest of it's gone.
And I suppose where Mac Jewelry Store is now, that used to be U.S. National Bank. What's going to happen to it? I hear he has several offers for buyers. But it's a shame that the downtown has moved out. Walmart killing the downtown, Primark, the mall that used to be more of an influence than it is now. But if you want to buy a screw or a hammer or yardage, you can't find it in the city limits. They don't have it.
Does it? This may be an overgeneralization, but does it seem to you that during your lifetime in Union County, they citizens generally don't have a high respect for the historic significance of what is here?
I don't think they have too much. You know, there's the historical society. There's about two dozen old people go to it. You can't get a young person. Young people aren't interested in it. They don't care.
But if the motive were to promote tourism, would that potentially be a way of involving people who could bring about more respect for historic sites?
Oh, it probably would. You got to have something for people to look at.
Yes.
And things to do. There could be a trail would start out right up going through our property, up through this canyon. Her father built a road through it, which the fire of 1973 caused erosion. It's hardly visible anymore. There should be a hiking trail from our place up to Morgan Lake and back. When we were kids, we had there wasn't even a road up to Morgan Lake then when I was a kid. And three or four times we went there, you'd go up Deal Canyon, you get up on top, and then cut over. If you're lucky, you'd come to the lake.
The Liberty Theater, or what used to be the Liberty Theater, what is its potential for restoration?
That's where we had. When I was a kid, and there were theaters before that, one time there were four theaters in town. There was the Liberty, which carried the middle class movies, and the real good ones that would come, like Gone with the Wind, would be shown in the Star Theater. The Star?
Liberty.
No, Liberty.
I thought the Liberty was the top theater.
Granada was the Western.
Yeah, the Granada was always the Western, shoot 'em up. Nickel to go to the movie. What was the other theater next?
Well, it was Star, and I think Star was Granada, and then State.
Oh yeah, it was the State Theater. It was there about two or three buildings next door to the Liberty, and they would be open only maybe once a week or something other, and they would have some of the...
I mean the building itself that used to be the Liberty Theater. It still has most of its interior structure the way it was.
Yeah. Where the Trocadero was, that was a monstrosity before they had the fire and burned off all that plastic front to it.
Yes.
It was a disaster.
Yes.
And they've hired architects and experts come in to see what to do to downtown La Grande. And that was the number on their list, to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And take off all that fire.
Oh, yes.
And
I'm thinking specifically about the Liberty, that if it were restored inside the way it used to be, with a stage and seating and a balcony, it could serve for theatrical purposes and a number of other community functions.
Yeah.
Is that within the realm of feasibility in a place like this?
I would think it would be. With the college, we have the McKinsey Theater and also Hall, which seem to be adequate in all the... I don't think anybody else puts on plays there, but when I first got out of the service, Youth for Christ was a big movement here, and we would have rallies and meetings there in the Liberty Theater and use their facilities and had a stage, and it was an excellent place.
It would need to be reinforced for earthquake protection now, so it would be an expensive operation.
Oh, we'll never get an earthquake here.
Have you ever been an activist in any respect to, let's say, do the kinds of things that would draw tourists?
That's probably one of my faults, is not being an innovator of this type of thing. I'm a supporter of it, but to get a project and say, hey, I'm going to see that we restore and go out and drum up funds and interest and do that. Mainly because it was always busy.
Yeah.
You know, one of my community things I didn't mention was is my involvement with the Christian Church. My ancestry goes back to 1856 when my great-grandmother joined the Christian Church. And I was a deacon there and I was an elder there, and then finally when I got to be 72, they said, you're too old, and made me emeritus. Put me out to pasture, but I've been, Dorsey and I were younger, we were advisors to high school groups, but when we first came, our kids were in junior high, we were advisors to them, and then their high school and high school advisors. Then we had college, when they got to college, we were advisors to college young people, and our house used to have a nice round fireplace downstairs, and the living room was down there, and every once in a while, some person who's now about 50 years old said, oh, yeah, you live up there. I remember sitting around your fireplace roasting marshmallows, you know, and they have fond memories of our involvement in as their advisors. And we'd take them camping, high school groups, and take them up to Anthony Lakes for a weekend of camping. And I've led week-long church camps in the High Lakes, where we go in there and find God in nature.
What is your opinion about the potential of Hot Lake as a tourist attraction?
That's another sore spot. I think it's deteriorated to the point now that unless some Bill Gates come along, it's pretty well gone.
But suppose somebody did have the money and the right attitude, what would you suggest that it become?
Well, like I said, Le Grand lacks some of the destination features, and I've looked at Hot Lake as being a tourist resort. There's the hot water, the tubs, the baths. It's located out there, pretty desolate. I grew up out that area. There could be horseback trails up on Craig Mountain behind it. But there's no real, from there, there's real no hiking facilities. The mountains aren't wooded or lakes to hike to. There's no place to go from there. I suppose they could get tennis courts and badminton courts and this kind of sports activity. But when it was, before it started going downhill, every room was full of antique furniture, and that would be a real selling point for people to come. I mean, it was a nursing home, and there were the beds and the tables and the chiffoniers were the antique furniture. Well, Kaya bought it, sold it all off. It's been, and the lobby that was there, the tiled lobby, beauty. It's gone. It's torn up, deteriorated. I don't know if it ever could be restored. At one time, I know once our Eastern Oregon Church group held a weekend conference there, and they were able to use it as a hotel and had meeting rooms there. It would be a good community center, a conference center.
But to bring people in, it would probably have to capitalize on qualities that you can't find somewhere else.
That's right. And the qualities was the antiqueness of the,
yes,
of the turn of the century.
And, of course, the hot water.
Yeah, and the
not
hot
many
water,
places
hot
have
water.
That.
Yeah, you can drink the water and you can lay in it. And the Union Pacific Railroad had a stop there. People would come and
Union Junction.
No, it was before Union Junction.
Before?
It stopped right there.
Called Hot Lake?
Right across the highway from Hot Lake. It stopped there. They had a little station there.
Uh-huh.
And people coming out to the, it was known as the Mayo of the West, of the doctors and the health benefits. And the train was made a regular stop at Hot Lake.
By the way, did you talk to anyone who knew the original Dr. Fye personally?
Oh, my folks knew him. Yeah, my folks knew him. In fact, I had a brother that, because of a brain injury, was probably in there maybe 6 months as a patient.
Well, what did you learn about his personality and his techniques?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Other than he was a great organizer and a doctor, and I think Walter Pierce, our ex-governor and congressman, he and the two of them went together to build it. But I knew nothing about Fye. I never saw him in my life.
Do you know any of the stories about his son, who apparently was
no
partly responsible for its decline?
No, I never heard that. But I've seen the old antique operating rooms and examining tables and stuff. And he had early x-ray machines and all the latest at that time medical equipment.
Is it your understanding that they were able to start it because they had the right combination of ambition, vision, and money?
Know very little about its origin or why they picked Hot Lake.
I think that was fairly obvious.
Well, the hot water.
Yes.
the mineral water. Yeah, that's why they picked Hot Lake there.
That was at a time, of course, when that was a preferred form of medical treatment.
Oh, yeah.
For almost any ailment.
Yeah. Trouble is, you couldn't ice skate out in the wintertime.
No.
Because if you break through, you get scalded.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I knew little of the history of the origin of it before my time.
How much potential does Ladd Marsh have as an attraction for tourists?
Well, it does have, and that's one that's listed as a walking tour. It has a very nice nature, which could be extended greatly. I would like to see it and blinds put up across the highway from it in the big ponds, because we get, I have videos of swans that are. There's elk come in, herds of elk and deer, and all the wild animals. I think there's a great potential for nature watching there. And as they're expanding now with the grand sewage system of making more wetlands, it has a greater.
And in connection with that, is there potential for somehow recalling or exploiting the Native American presence in the Grand Ronde Valley?
I don't think too much, because actually no Indian tribe ever lived in Grand Ronde.
But they came here for meetings.
Yeah, they came here and the Valley of Peace, they called it. They didn't fight each other when they were in the valley. Our huge camas field, they would come over every fall and dig camas. There is a Indian heritage here.
Do you know, do you have any ideas about how that might be recaptured in a way that tourists would like and understand?
No. I've PS on my community. It's a personal story to me. I mentioned I didn't particularly like the disability program with Social Security. I don't like to hear people tell about their illnesses, and to me, illnesses were a weakness. And I have a cousin who something about the genes between her and her husband could not have a normal child. And most of them died at birth. And her third child was a little gal named Mandy. And she lived to be 9 months old. And her father played basketball and would go to church basketball games. And little Mandy loved me. She'd sit on my lap, this little retarded girl. I fell in love with that little girl. And then she died. And it turned me around on thinking of disability. So I got into Special Olympics, working with them. And for 14 years, I taught cross-country skiing. And I see one of my ex-students in the Safeway. They'll come running over and give me a hug. And here's George, you know. And it just turned me around completely. And my greatest success, my first student as a cross-country coach was Debbie Knight. And I could not get her any further away from the ski lodge than what she could see it. We got her further than the ski lodge. She started crying. She wouldn't go back. She didn't want to get away from them. And by the end of the ski season, I had her skiing. She had ski around the Anthony Lakes ski runs. She became one of the better skiers. And every year, all the Special Olympic winter sports would go to Bend for a state meet. And Debbie won first place on her skiing. And now she works with herself, even though she's retarded she is. She is now a coach, and she goes up and she takes the kids out. She's an instructor on teaching the kids cross-country skiing.
How is the Special Olympics program set up in La Grande? Just through volunteers, very informally?
Since I left, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I mean, when you were involved.
Yeah. There was a in the high school, they have a special needs program. Mm-hmm. And Kay, she was Buzz Fulton's daughter, was the main teacher of that program and head of it. What is her name? I can't remember. She's remarried since then. but she was head of it, and she was the organizer in charge of it. And her dad, Buzz, was a great skier and a ski instructor, and he was in charge of the downhill skiing, and Kay was in charge of the cross-country group. And then when she left, I can't remember the last name, a woman named Georgie became the administrator of it, and now a fellow by name Brian Fisher has that. So there is an organization. They have not only skiing, but they have swimming and bowling and track. I've worked with the track kids. It's a state organization out of Portland, and then filters down to the various, where the Blue Mountain chapter of it, and we get direction from them and work with them. We send our kids off to state meetings. They have state bowling meetings, state track meetings. I've gone to, went to one of them once. And they have, I think it's not too well run. You hear very little of it anymore. They had monthly committee meetings, and there'd be somebody in charge of publicity and somebody in charge of this sport and that sport. And it was well organized. I just don't know how it is.
It heavily depended on volunteers, though, to keep it going, I assume.
Yeah, it was completely 100% volunteers. Yes. I don't think the administrator would ever receive salary. It just like with Kay, she was a school teacher, and that was part of her job. She got Friday off to run the ski school. When the bicentennial United States came, there was a Union County had a committee. It was headed by Glenn and Gene McKenzie, and it was a large committee of how to celebrate the bicentennial. So Dorothy and I took upon ourselves to put together a slide tape program on the history of history of Union County. And we would put people, we had Glenn McKenzie read a poem, we had Eva Martin, who was the historian at that time. Too bad you didn't meet Eva. Talk, and it took us a whole year to, she wrote the script, and I took the pictures, and we put it together. It was about a half-hour tape presentation. And for the next year then, I showed it to every school children, child from first grade to senior in Union County. During that, probably that two-year period, I showed it 200 times. And unfortunately, I didn't make a backup tape, so my soundtrack is not all that good, but I still got them. I'll show it to you sometime.
Good.
Back into Rotary, some of the things we've done. We have very active in the drug-free program for the high school. We sponsor it. In Boy Scouts, we pay for the badges when a Boy Scout gets to be a
Eagle
Scout. They have to buy their badges, and their mother gets a badge and that. And it's a, I don't know what the package is, whether it's $25, $50, but any Eagle Scout, we furnish that for them. We're active in helping United Way. And another thing with Rotary, like when I started in working in with United Way, I went to the first board meeting, and 11 out of the 12 people were Rotarians. And our project now, this coming year, we're going to put some kind of a covered pavilion, a small one, out at the Riverside. No, I think it's going to be at the Pioneer Park, and that'll be done within probably by next spring. One time we took over Gangloff Park. I was very sorry we gave that up. We put up a huge sign there that said, "Welcome to the Grand Rotary Club." And but the guys were too lazy to get in and do the weeding to keep that up, so we turned it back to the state. Or I think the city may own that.